I would like to give a perspective on Dina that I had not seen before.
Well, so far I don't mind without hearing what it is. Let's let's see if I mind after you get it out.
Well, here are my written notes in which I said that this account is possibly, and I'm going to just say that I'm postulating this for you all to consider. The way I'm seeing it for the first time this year is that it's a prophecy about how Israel would defile itself through engaging in worldly activities, which would cause Israel to be defiled. And it is also tribulation prophecy. And in this prophecy, Dina represents Israel, who throughout its history played fast and loose with the world, and the world afflicts them afterward. I mean, we get the empires that come after them. You know, Yahweh sends those empires to go get Israel for playing fast and loose and even engaging in the idolatry of the world. Now, there are two words in this chapter with Dina, chapter 34, that mean afflict, and they are anah and akar. Anah is the word that is used through the Exodus account to describe what was happening to the Israelites in Egypt, and thus why they needed to be rescued by Yahweh, Yeshua. And there are other numerous words throughout the scripture for affliction and tribulation that I don't want to go into, but I do want to stick with anah and akar. Anah is the affliction of Dina personally, and akar, used by Jacob at the end of the chapter when he says, "You've made me odious, you've made trouble for me." That word akar is the affliction of the whole family. So the coming trouble and all the trouble of Israel from the beginning begins with personal afflictions and then morphs into national affliction. And nothing could be truer about that than this coming tribulation, which is we're going to see here in a minute in my description how I think this account is about, even is prophesied about this time. Now, Jewish and Christian commentators say Dina went to a Shechemite festival without permission of her family. Like, she went there by herself and she's just there partying with the ladies of Shechem. And she is seen by Prince Shechem. But the book of Jasher says that the whole family went to a celebration and a dance in the city. And according to Jasher, Shechem, you know, he sees Dina, and then he later sends men to kidnap her and bring her to him in Jasher 33:11. It says he sent and had her taken by force. And Dina came to the house of Shechem, and he seized her forcibly and lay with her and humbled her. And he loved her exceedingly and placed her in his house. Well, that word humbled, you know, he humbled her, is that word anah, afflicted, for Dina's situation. Now, this same word anah is used contextually for variations about, you know, being humbled. It means to be humiliated when someone afflicts you. It also means to be humbled when you do afflicting of yourself. Anah is used for our self-affliction, for instance, on Yom Kippur in Leviticus 16:29. So the same word can mean something bad or something good, because when you afflict yourself, when you humble yourself before Yahweh, you know, that's the broken and contrite heart of repentance. That's what Yahweh says in the Psalms. That's the sacrifices he wants. But when someone else humiliates you, they afflict you, they annoy you, that is the bad situation. So Shechem wanted Dinah very badly. And he wanted her so badly that he was willing to afflict her and humiliate her in order to get her. Now, the furthest meaning of anah, affliction, is of course rape, the forcible penetration of something into the human body. And this is what I was saying earlier, that this is something I've just seen about the prophecy of this. This story of Dinah has followed the affliction of Israel from the time they went to Egypt and then throughout the history as they have cavorted with the world and so forth, as the whole family did in Shechem. So there is the forceful or forcible penetration of something into the human body. And today we understand what this means by sexual nature, but anah, penetration, rape, may be coming at the end of a medical needle. In the end of days, this affliction, this anah, that leads to phlipsis, tribulation in Greek, and tsar, tribulation in Hebrew, starts with the COVID vaccine that is a personal affliction that is going to become a national, global affliction. Now, I recently saw a video of Carrie Made, Dr. Carrie Made, and she quoted Ron Kurzweil of the New World Order saying that all humans will be hybrids. Hybrids are mixtures. And here in the story of Dinah is Satan's first attempt to mix, to hybridize Israel's seed with the seed of the wicked. Now, note that this happened after Yeshua revealed the name of his nation, Israel, which, by the way, Yisrael means my struggle with God. And he puts Israel's name on Jacob, and then by succession, on all of Jacob's future family, all the way to the end of days. You know, Abraham and Sarah, along with Lot and all the other members of Terah's family, they were Shemites. And if you read the genealogy, you get a sense of them being pure Shemites. And of course, Isaac was a pure Shemite. Jacob was a pure Shemite. And of course, Esau too was a pure Shemite, but he married other people. Isaac was a Shemite that married into the same line that Abraham came from. Jacob also married back into that same line. So all of Jacob's children from Leah and Rachel were Shemites, except for the children of Zilpah and Bilhah. We don't know where those two ladies came from. But note that Satan now knows what Yeshua's plans are, which is to have a pure line of Shemites to bring forth the promised Messiah that was promised to Adam and Eve. But Satan, he wants to thwart the coming of the Messiah, you know, here in Genesis. He wants to stop that. So he is trying that with Dinah. One possible fulfillment of the prophecy early on, a near fulfillment, because this prophecy has a lot of near and far fulfillments. And one of those may be found with Esau, who took Canaanites as wives, that mixed the Shemite line with the Canaanites and prevented, you know, disqualified Esau's line from bringing the promised Messiah. The mixture of all the physical lines, I am talking right now about the physical lines, is one reason why Yeshua had to die. His blood has to cleanse humanity of the impurity of mixture into Abraham's line, the Shemite line, and particularly into the Israelite line. Now, I am not saying the kingdom is based on the purity of a physical line. I am saying, though, that mixing of the physical brings mixture of the spirit of the lines. A marriage between Dinah and Shechem would have mixed the spiritual DNA of those lines. Sin is inherited through the DNA, and the DNA has spiritual inheritance properties in it, as well as the physical inheritance properties. The line of Israel, you know, from Jacob, they were going to face their own sinfulness anyway, because we all are born in sin. You know, they don't need help from the other lineages through intermarriage. So both Abraham and Isaac tried to prevent intermarriage mixture, the spiritual hybrid, as it were, happening by disallowing both Jacob and Esau getting wives from other lines, and Abraham not allowing Isaac to have a wife from another line besides the Shemite line that came down through Terah to Abraham. So if I am not advocating a physically pure line for the kingdom, then what was Yahweh's plan to bring all of humanity to Yeshua? If there are so many other human lineages out there, how was Yahweh going to bring all of humanity to himself? How could that happen without intermarriage? Well, the plan was for Israel to become a nation of priests in Exodus 19:6, and these priests would have been in the order of Melchizedek, who would then go out around the world to witness to all of mankind to bring them into the kingdom. That's what the New World Order kings and priests of Melchizedek, when the high priest Yeshua comes to the earth, and we have the bride, the 144,000, and the people who are qualified to go to all of the mankind that will be left after the tribulation, that's what they're going to be doing. There's going to be the two orders. Those of you who have heard me speak on this before, it'll be just like when David had two lines of priests. You'll have the Levitical line and the order of Melchizedek line. So the impure lineages would join the pure lineage in the kingdom. How is this different than intermarriage? Well, marriage, human marriage, is of the flesh. Of course, it's before God, but it's between two people of the flesh. But converting from being an impure lineage, a Gentile, to being a pure Israelite in the kingdom is of the soul. And it is the law of the kingdom that converts the soul, according to Psalm 19:6. It is the human soul that matters. Once the soul is converted, the physical lines can marry. In the story of Dinah and Shechem, the brothers did not try to convert the souls of those Shechemites. They did not say, you know, get circumcised and then learn our ways. And once you have, you know, learned to worship Yahweh and you are keeping the Torah and doing all, then you can have Dinah. No, they did it the wrong way. A person from the wrong physical line can become of the right physical line through conversion of the soul, because it is not the body that matters. Ruth marrying Boaz is a good example of this. Her soul was converted by the law that Naomi lived by and which Ruth had also practiced. But when we in the flesh, without regard for the spiritual things of the kingdom, become defiled through affliction like Dinah, and we produce a mixed line of Shemites, the soul then simply follows what the flesh has done. A Shemite marrying into other lines becomes that line because of the flesh. So Dinah marrying in Shechem would have become a Shechemite. But had they converted to become Israel, if the brothers had said, come and become part of us and worship our God, then they would have been Israelite. You see what I'm saying? And the reason is because other lines converting to be Israelite becomes the line of Shem through Abraham. Galatians 3:29. And if you are Messiah's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's because conversion is of the soul. It is the foundation of human redemption. And it is for this reason that those from outside the line of Abraham through Shem can be called by those who are of other lineages. We can call the other lineages to come to us and get their souls converted. And then they're Israelites. And then we can marry them. I was just reading in the Psalm 87. I'm going to go over there, actually. This is not part of my notes, but I'm going to go and I'm going to read what's in Psalm 87. In verse 4, it says, I will record Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me. Why? Because in verse 2, it says, Yahweh loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. So he's going to record Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me. Behold, Philistia, Tyre, and Ethiopia. He's going to say, this one was born there. In verse 5, yes, of Zion, it will be said, this one and that one was born in her. Who are the this one and that one that was born in her? Zion. Rahab, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, and Ethiopia. He's talking about salvation of the people here. So the Shechem incident happened because Dinah represents all Israel, who represents all Israel was put in a position to be defiled by the world. Her family engaged in a social situation which the Shechemites, that they should not have participated in. It's a actually, you know, warning. We must keep ourselves separate from the worldly activities, not necessarily from the people, but not to be engaging in their activities in order to avoid possible defilement. And again, this tells the story of Israel from the beginning, because ancient and modern Israel both today engage in worldly things. And in the past, they've even engaged in the world's idolatry, and they're engaging in that today. So at the end of days, at the end of a needle, the ultimate defilement is transhumanism. Satan has failed to utterly defile Israel in the past and prevent the world from coming to Yeshua, because Yeshua's blood washes away all worldly defilement, much to Satan's chagrin. So he is now creating humans 2.0, as I heard Dr. Carrie Made say, in order to make humans unredeemable by Yeshua. That's his next ploy. You know, intermarriage did not work. It did not defile the line of humans so that Yeshua would reject them. No, Yeshua used what Satan had planned against Satan by dying on the cross to wash all humanity in his blood. This washing does away completely with the impurity of the soul from one's own sins and those that we inherit from our fathers, or those that we have inherited from being born of intermixed lineages. So, you know, we need to understand just how far-reaching and extensive Yeshua's cleansing blood is. Now, we also need to understand who the Hivites are, that Shechem was a Hivite city. Those were the sons of Canaan from Genesis 10:17. This plays a role in what is going on now. Who are the largest Canaanite population on earth today? The Sinites, the Chinese, the ancient Sino people who were sons of Canaan. And where did the excuse for the COVID vaccine come from? Wuhan, China. The Canaanites are still in hot pursuit of us Shemites today. Satan lost, so now his plan is to make humans unredeemable by injecting into humans not only horribly unclean things, but by making humans part machine. So Dina was personally afflicted, Anah, which Jacob said would bring affliction, Anak, on the whole family. By the way, those two words, Anah and Anak, are related to each other. And so Yahweh moved them to Bethel. And in answering what you asked earlier, Mark, about the where did the idols come from there in Genesis 35? Well, Jasher says that Simeon took a Canaanite virgin, one of the women that they brought out of the city. They killed all of the other women, but the virgins they kept. And he married one of the virgins from Shechem as part of the spoils. And the Jasher says that the Shechemite women were with that family of Jacob until Jacob's family went to Egypt. The personal injury of Dina brought the danger of national injury to the Israelites. Jacob's family in the book of Jasher began to be afraid of the Canaanite kings that wanted to make war with them. This war episode is not mentioned in Genesis. It is, but I'll show you where in a minute. Judah stood up to Jacob on behalf of Simeon and Levi's actions in Shechem, according to Jasher. Jacob feared that the trouble would come on the whole family, but Judah assured him that Yahweh would deliver the surrounding Canaanite armies into the hands of the brothers, just as Yahweh had delivered the entire city of Shechem into only two of the sons' hands, Simeon and Levi. Jasher also says that Isaac and Jacob prayed for the sons to prevail in the war that was threatened to the family by the surrounding Canaanite nations after this incident, and that Yahweh sent utter fear into the hearts of the kings of those armies. The kings reckoned that Yahweh had given supernatural strength to Simeon and Levi, and then considered the reputation of Yahweh in helping his people from the time that Nimrod threw Abram into the fiery furnace to all the miracles that Yahweh had done to save that entire line. And they decided against engaging in war with the family and retreated. Now, this is upheld in Genesis 35 with one small mention of the terror that the Canaanite kings surrounding them had of the Israelites. It says in Genesis 35:5, they traveled and a terror of God was on the cities that were around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So the Canaanites, though, at the end of days, are not going to back off of their intent to defile the Israelite line. And we see today pastors of churches telling people to go get this COVID vaccine. And my postulation is that the penetration of that needle into people's arms has the same connotation of Anah as Shechem raping Dinah. And this time, China will kill millions of Israelites.